Hey, everybody. Welcome to Running with the Queen. I'm your host, Rami Mays. And today, I'm extremely, extremely excited about this episode because it features my ultimate number one rock and roll idol and inspiration of all time. I was kind of trying to figure out when it was going to be a good time to do this episode. And then I thought, why wait any longer? Let's just do it. The coolest chick in rock and roll that ever was and will ever be, literally known by the titles The Queen of Rock and Roll and the Godmother of Punk, I present to you my one-hour show on the baddest ass woman I ever heard, the almighty Joan Jett. I first turned Joan Jett on my Ghetto Blaster radio, you know, in my bedroom, likely around the age of, like, say, 6, 7, 8. And I remember grabbing a hairbrush and lip-syncing into it and dancing in the mirror and pretending I was her. And I didn't know what she looked like at that point, but I imagined she looked just like me. I was pretty sure we were just identical. And the song I Love Rock and Roll just completely changed my life as I knew it. And I didn't really know it quite then, but it became quite clear to me over the years that I wanted to sound like that. I wanted to make music like that. I wanted to play guitar like that. Ideally look as good in spandex like that, but that just never happened. From that age to present day, Joan Jett has always been my hero. I've seen her perform a handful of times, and even her most recent performances, she's now in her late 50s. She still wears those shiny tights like no other woman could. She still has the same killer voice, control with a rasp and howls, and she can just slay it on guitar. And honestly, she probably looks about 25 on her crappiest days. What a woman. I just love her. So let's start from the start here as we do and kick off this feature with a little bit of where Joan came from and the early music she listened to and played. Her name was actually Joan Marie Larkin, which doesn't have the same ring maybe as Joan Jett. She was born September 1958 in Pennsylvania in a small little town, sort of a suburb of Philadelphia called Wynwood. And her mother's maiden name was Jett, so after her parents' divorce, she legally changed her name to her mother's maiden name. What a cool name. It's way cooler, yeah. Joan Jett, Joan Larkin. Kind of a no-brainer. Her family moved to Maryland, and a few years later, she got her first guitar at the age of 14, but struggled with the guitar lessons because I guess they, at that time, too, you have to imagine, you know, wanting to teach guitar to women, but they just were really encouraging her to do folk songs, and as we've seen and heard over the years, that's just not what she was looking to get out of the guitar. So shortly after, they moved to L.A., which helped Joan sort of further her music desires. It's a better place for her to be. She would often go to Rodney Bingenheimer's English Disco, which featured a lot of the glam rock she was into. And she was also hugely into bands like The Stones, The Ramones, and The Replacements. So let's start hearing some tunes. Let's listen to the classic Joan Jett hit, I Love Rock and Roll. But I know everyone's heard it a million times, so instead of actually playing that version, I don't know if you knew this, but it's not written by Joan Jett. It may as well have been, but she definitely made it her signature tune. But it was actually written by a man named Alan Merrill of a band called The Arrows. And Joan first heard it when she saw The Arrows perform it in 1976. So let's play The Arrows version of that hit song, and then we'll top up the set with a couple other... we'll just play one more, actually, after that. One of her favorite bands, The Ramones. And I chose just a really fun one. I chose Spider-Man here on 101.5 UMFM.
Machine. I knew she must have been about 17. The beat was going strong, playing my favorite song, and I could tell it wouldn't be long till she was with me, yeah, me. And I could tell it wouldn't be long till she was with me, yeah, me. Singing, got up and asked for her name. That don't matter, she said, cause it's all the same. I said, can I take you home where we can't be alone? Next we were moving on and she was with me, yeah, me. Next we were moving on and she was with me, yeah, me. I love rock and roll, so come and take your time and dance with me.
Yes, we were moving on, and she was with me, yeah, me. And we were moving on and singing that same old song, yeah, with me, singing.
I love rock and roll, so put another time in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll, so come and take your time and dance with me. I love rock and roll, so put another time in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll, so come and take your time and dance with me. I love rock and roll, so put another time in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll, so come and take your time and dance with me. I love rock and roll, so put another time in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll, so come and take your time and dance with me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just love that. I love that. That's so cool. What a great way to start the show. Feeling good. Yeah, spring is here. Music's rock and roll. Everything's good. In the second half of the 70s, Joan formed a band with Sandy West. And with the help of record producer Kim Fowley, I don't know if you saw the movie. I can't remember the actor's name that played Kim Fowley, but he was awesome. And anyway, with the help of the record producer Kim Fowley, he helped them find Jackie Fox, Lita Ford, and Sherry Curry. And they became the band The Runaways. Though Curry often fronted the band, Jett had a big part in writing the material and did some front singing as well. They recorded five albums, and one of the five albums was called Live in Japan, and it became one of the biggest selling import exports in U.S. and U.K. history, and it also went gold. They opened for bands like Cheap Trick, The Ramones, Van Halen, and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. The Runaways had global success, but there was something, I don't know why, maybe U.S. wasn't ready to take on the female power, but they just couldn't hit the success levels they wanted in the U.S. So their biggest fame was in Japan, but also in the British punk scene. And they had this great opportunity. I mean, they'd go to the U.K. and they'd hang out with people like, the Ramones, Generation X, and the Sex Pistols. When Curry left the group in 77, Joan took over the vocals. And it was shortly after that, actually, that Runaways parted ways with Kim Fowley. And by 78, the Runaways played their last show. It was kind of more like because Joan really wanted to go into more like this punk rock, glam rock direction. But some of the other members wanted to continue this like sort of heavy metal like rock path that they were on. So The Runaways, one of my also ultimate favorite bands. I've been a fan and I'm never disappointed, even by some of their lesser deep, like their deep tracks, the lesser known ones. It was an interesting time for all women to, it's like an all woman band. And I think they got booed a lot because of that. But once they started playing, most people usually dug it. Very inspiring for women like me growing up in the 70s and 80s. Here are a couple of the Runaways hits on Riding with the Queen. Runaways on UMFM today. Killer. After the Runaways broke up, Joan Jett was having trouble getting back. Like, I don't know. I guess she was trying to get on a label. And she was having a really hard time. And no one was taking her, I guess, as seriously as she wanted to be taken. And she did meet this friend of hers, Kenny Laguna, who ended up being quite important in her life. He helped Joan decide to just start her own label called the Blackheart Records, called Blackheart Records. And, you know, eventually Joan Jett and the Blackhearts became the name of the band. But it's just so cool. I don't know. She relocated to New York, where Laguna lived. The year was 1980, and this meant that Joan Jett was one of the first female recording artists to found her own record label. So as if she wasn't cool enough. So though it was suggested by others, and many were telling her to you know, use the limited funds that she had and just work on her own material. She really, really wanted a band, and they thought it was a very bad time financially to bring on a band, but she did not. She said she couldn't be swayed, and she knew she had to have a band. So she placed an ad looking for, it was actually like, I think the quote was like, three good men, which could have gone quite poorly if people didn't understand it was for music. John Doe of X sat in on the rehearsals and auditions to help her out while she was auditioning people. And he suggested Gary Ryan, who had been playing around bands like Top Jimmy. And he was a big Runaways and Joan Jett fan. Gary then suggested guitarist Eric Amble, who was in a band called Rick L. Rick. And the band was completed by drummer Danny Furious O'Brien. Literally, quote in the middle of his name, Danny Furious O'Brien. From the band Avengers. O'Brien was soon replaced with Lee Crystal, and I have to wonder if it's anything to do with the fact that his nickname was Furious. The lineup would change over a bit over the years, but Joan would be a strong front woman all the way through. They toured through Europe and UK and the US. Finances were tight, and Jett and Laguna used their own money to manufacture copies of the Joan Jett album. And sometimes distribution actually meant just out of the back trunk of a car at the shows that they play. So even though that seems really like lo-fi when you're a big star, that's actually how a lot of people do it now that I know. You know, they just, people that I know, people that tour all the time, they just manufacture their own and they independently do it. And then, yeah, like just sell discs at CD and CDs at their shows. So yeah, but I guess at that time that seemed like kind of like a hardcore way to do it. They couldn't keep up with the demand, though, so that's good that they were selling so many. And a friend of Laguna's took Joan on over at Boardwalk Records and then re-released the album. It was originally called Joan Jett. Re-released it as Bad Reputation. So let's take a moment to listen to a couple tracks off that album. Here is the Queen of Rock and Roll herself, Joan Jett, on UMFM. We'll be right back. I just love Joan Jett. Don't you just love her? She's awesome. It was a concert in 1981, actually, where the world had to do a double take. A career-changing performance at the Palladium in New York put Joan on the map and helped solidify her career. I guess that was just one of those magic shows. They recorded the album I Love Rock and Roll, and then in 1983 recorded the album called Album, and in 1984 released Glorious Results of a Misspent Youth, which is an excellent title to an album. Top 40 hits were coming left and right, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts were touring with bands like The Police, Aerosmith, and Queen. I don't know, that's just so awesome. Like, she just deserved all of that and more. Before we continue on with Joan's career, let's spin a couple tunes from an album I just mentioned. Let's hear Crimson and Clover as well as Summertime Blues off her I Love Rock and Roll album here on Riding with the Queen.
Now when she comes, why? 5, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do. Ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Cause you didn't work a lick.
Right on. It was, you know, I don't know. Do you guys remember the movie Light of Day with Joan Jett and Michael J. Fox? That was a huge movie in my life. It was the first time we really got to really see Joan talk and walk and act. And so for me, that was huge because I was so curious about what she was like. So yeah, the preteen girls like myself got to see how cool she really was. And she's starring alongside Michael J. Fox, who most preteen girls also had a crush on at the time. So it was kind of like a double whammy. The movie Light of Day, yeah, so you might remember the song. It was actually written by Bruce Springsteen. And he wrote it, and in the movie, actually, Michael J. Fox, who can play music, and Joan Jett together did perform that song. And then I heard there was footage somewhere where Joan Jett and Bruce Springsteen, right? Maybe I'd heard there was a recording somewhere of them doing it together. I looked high and low. I couldn't find it anywhere. I did see like some lo-fi recordings of them when Joan Jett just like called up Bruce Springsteen to perform it with her. But it was just, I wanted to play it, but it wasn't very good. So we'll just let that lie. And we'll just know that Bruce Springsteen wrote the song. So yeah, let's just spin that track right now. Let's just spin Light of Day, which is also an excellent song that Joan Jett performs. And then we'll also hear Joan Jett covering Fun, Fun, Fun by the Beach Boys. And actually, when she went into the studio to record it, the Beach Boys came in and sang backups for her for that song. They were huge fans of her as well. So let's listen to Light of Day and the Fun, Fun, Fun tune here on Riding with the Queen.
I'm not afraid to die.
All right. I was about to play Fun, Fun, Fun with her, with Joan Jett singing and the Beach Boys backing her up. But I don't have it in my stuff. I don't have it. I don't know why. I just didn't put it in there. I guess I didn't want to hear it in the end. So there. So, in 1988, Joan Jett released Up Your Alley, which had the hit I Hate Myself for Loving You, which became an anthem for all angry lovers everywhere. I still think it's just awesome. It just makes you feel good when you're angry with someone you love. It peaked at number 8 on the Billboard 100 chart. And almost 20 years later, this is so sad. I hate when stuff like this happens. It was later used for the intro theme song for Sunday Night Football. I don't know if you guys remember this, but the words were changed. And Faith Hill was singing it and walked in and introduced it in a glam dress, you know, and there's all this like hype for the Sunday Night Football about to start. And it pained me so much to see this because obviously Joan got a lot of royalties for that, a lot of money. But you just can't really take Joan Jett and a song that you love and then suddenly just accept it with Faith Hill singing it about football. It doesn't seem right. So actually what I'm going to do for a second, I'm just going to play that clip right now. I'm just going to do it. And I'm not going to play the whole thing because I don't want to do that to you guys. But just so you get the gist of how wrong it is. Here we go. Let's check this out. I'm just going to stop it there. How about save you from that pain? You get what I'm saying, though, right? Like, you know the song, and there it is. Faith Hill just, come on, Sunday night, where are you? Waiting for you, football. Not cool. I just don't like it. So to redeem ourselves completely, let's cleanse the palate of that and hear the original. Here's Hate Myself for Loving You, Joan Jett. We'll be right back.
Fresh off a month-long tour in support of their new record, Quiet Dreams, Winnipeg act Hearing Trees come home to play the Goodwill Social Club at the official release show on Friday, May 25th. Featuring supporting acts Micah Ehrenberg and Sophie Stevens, plus The Perms, this is a night packed with power pop and rock goodness. Advance tickets for the night are available now at the Goodwill, so get yours and come celebrate the release of Quiet Dreams, the latest rock opus from Hearing Trees on Friday, March 25th at the Goodwill Social Club, proudly supported by 101.5 UMFM.
All right, so it was also in the later 80s, pushing the 90s, after release of Up Your Alley, that Joan Jett and songwriter Desmond Child co-wrote a song called House of Fire, and that song... I don't know if you knew this. It's pretty cool. That song, Alice Cooper covered and put on his album, Trash. So if you've ever listened to the album, Trash, by Alice Cooper, Joan Jett's got a song on there. Who knew? You can really hear the Joan Jett in it, actually. So let's just move right into that. Why waste time? Here's House of Fire, Alice Cooper, co-written by Joan Jett on Riding with the Queen.
Building a house of fire, baby. Building it with our love. We are building this house together, baby. Standing on solid ground. We are building.
That may have been the most modulation I've ever heard in an Alice Cooper song. So, right on. Yeah. Joan Jett, writing for Alice Cooper. Not too shabby. 1990 and 91 saw the releases of Joan Jett's albums Hit List and Notorious, respectively, and then Pure and Simple in 1994. Pure and Simple was well-received and had songs on it written by L7's Donita Sparks, Babes in Toyland's Kat Bjelland, and Bikini Kill's Kathleen Hanna. In 1992, Jett began producing a lot more and produced bands like Circus Lupus and Bikini Kill. So let's give props to Joan as a producer as well. Like, that's awesome. I would like to hear a song called Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill. And it's a single that Joan Jett produced for them. And while I'm at it, I also want to give props to a rebel girl that I know. And it's J-Rod, Joanne Rodriguez's birthday today. And she is also one of the baddest ass women I've ever met in my whole life. And I'm going to dedicate this next song, called Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill, to J-Rod on Riding with the Queen. Recent years, Joan Jett has kept herself relevant, rocking on the scene, doing lots of collaborations and performances, among many other things. Here's a little list of what she's been up to over the last chunk of time. Among many things, she was on an Iggy Pop tribute album. She was a guest on a Marky Ramone and the Intruders album, a Peaches album, produced an album for the Eyeliners called No Apologies, produced The Vacancies. She had her own radio show for a few years that aired twice a week on Sirius called Underground Garage. Actually, I think it was Steve Van Zandt, the guy in in Bruce Springsteen's band that got her that gig. She released an album called Sinner in 2006 and toured with the Eagles of Death Metal. She toured the UK with Motorhead and Alice Cooper. She toured with Aerosmith. She had an opener for Def Leppard. They made a Joan Jett Barbie doll made after her likeness. This is true, a Joan Jett Barbie doll, which, by the way, I kind of want. I kind of want the Barbie doll. If you see it, great gift for me. She opened for Green Day. She was an executive director on the Runaways film that came out in 2010 that I was talking about. She released her most recent album in 2013 called Unvarnished. She fronted the band Nirvana for their induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She toured with The Who, The Foo Fighters, and most recently, I actually saw the tour, she toured with Heart. And that's just recently. So I think it's safe to say that this badass woman, who is just approaching her 60th birthday, has not let time slow her down. She remains iconic and admired, and without her, I'm not sure where a lot of women, like myself, or men for that matter, would be in rock and roll. So to close off the show today, I'm going to leave you with a couple of Joan Jett tunes that I love. They're in no particular order or chronology. One is hers, and one's an AC/DC cover that she did. And it's just the right amount of Joan Jett, I hope, to get you through the rest of the week. Thank you so much for tuning into my show today. I love doing these shows. I hope you're enjoying them. Write me, call me when I'm at the station. Let me know you're listening. I'd love to hear from you, and any show ideas I'd be happy to take on. I will be back next Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on 101.5 UMFM. And until next week, you've been riding with the Queen.
Trying to change the world, she's gonna cheap. Dirty deeds and they're done dirt cheap.
Dirty deeds and they're done and dirt cheap. Dirty deeds and they're done.